William D. Mace on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It's a bit of a William D. Mace road show today. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donning again today. Derek Mason here alongside at St. Thomas Sports Park as joint practices between the Tennessee Titans and Seattle Seahawks is underway. I love the competitive juices are already flowing, Derek. You can hear it on both sides of the field. A lot of trash talk already. I walked in here with Jared, who of course will be on at 2 o'clock. He strolls in here like he owns the place.
Exactly.
But as we walked in, we saw Treylon Burks beat Devin Witherspoon, the Seahawks second year corner, on a deep route for a touchdown. We also saw Kyaris Jackson beat Devin Witherspoon a couple of times in one-on-ones. The last catch right towards us on the sideline, and Devin Witherspoon, unhappy with his performance, said, "Man, I'm trash," and had to have a bit of a heart-to-heart with one of the Seahawks coaches. So a lot to talk about here today. Derek Mason, of course, a man of the people. I've already seen him sign one autograph. I imagine he's already signed a couple more. Yeah, see, the people love D-Mace here at St. Thomas Sports Park, a man of the people. So, Derek, practice has been underway for about an hour. What have been your early thoughts about what you've watched so far?
I think it's been a little bit of back and forth. I've been mainly watching the receivers go against the DBs. It started off really good for the Titans, and, you know, they completed two or three quick passes, and one of them you mentioned was Treylon Burks. But then, you know, I've seen guys get hemmed up. Wooden, he looks as if he's 6'10" out there playing corner. You know, he got his hands on Calvin Ridley and was able to knock the ball down. Could have been pass interference. Maybe they would call in the game, maybe not, but who knows. But I think it's they're competing out there, and that's all you want. You want guys to compete, stay on their feet, you know. Nice catch. Nice throw by Willis. You want guys to go out there and compete and stay healthy. That's what you want to do, and that's what they're doing right now. Haven't got a chance to watch the O-line and D-line much, but what I did see of them, that front seven or front, because they run a 3-4, meaning Seattle, that front three, you know, got pressure on the quarterback. So that's something that I'm going to continue to watch today and tomorrow. How does this offensive line of the Tennessee Titans, this revamped offensive line, go against this D-line of the Seattle Seahawks? So, saw some good, saw some bad, drop passes, but all in all, I think it's what you expected of a joint practice early on.
So, I've been on this side of the field where our booth is. We're watching the Titans offense going up against the Seahawks defense, and I was standing next to Joe Rexroad as they were lining up for their drills, and big number 99 for the Seattle Seahawks caught my eye, Leonard Williams, 6'5", 310 pounds. It's one thing to see his height and weight listed, it's another to see him standing right in front of you. That's a large individual.
Yeah, it is. It reminds you of Simmons. And I'm not sure if he's bigger than Sweat. He's taller than Sweat, but I'm not sure if he's bigger than Sweat. But that's going to be a big test for this young, revamped Titans offensive line. Going up against a guy like Leonard Williams, who's considered one of the best defensive tackles in the National Football League. So this will be a true measuring stick for them. Now, listen, it's not like they're not accustomed to going up against, you know, massive guys or dominant guys. They go against Jeffrey Simmons every day. But to go against someone else, that's where you want to sort of get the measuring stick. How are we doing in camp as far as our offensive line? Are we holding up against this team? Because, frankly, this off defensive line is going to be one of the better defensive lines in the National Football League. So to see how your young offensive line is doing against this very good Seattle Seahawks defensive line is going to be critical.
So, by the way, according to the depth chart we have in front of us, Tavondre Sweat has 56 pounds on Leonard Williams. Leonard Williams listed at 310. Tavondre Sweat listed at 366.
Gosh.
So if you thought Leonard Williams was a large man, you ain't seen nothing until you've seen Tavondre Sweat live and in living color. We do have one very important question to get to, Derek, based on our conversation yesterday. Did you get your hands on a bottle of Will Levis cologne?
No, not yet. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go to the website today, and I'm going to purchase a bottle of that mayonnaise coffee-infused parsley. Is it parsley?
There's parsley. Parsley? There's coffee. There's lemon.
Musk.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to get my musk.
There's
I'm going to get my
musk.
Will Levis's Mayo Musk. I'm going to order it. What website I need to go to again?
WillLevis8.com. And to quote Bad News Barrett, professional wrestler, I know this is not your area of expertise. It is Chase's. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. According to Paul Kaharsky, today's supply sold out in 1 minute.
Ah, you got to be kidding me.
According to Paul, I had one in my cart, and apparently I checked out too slowly. So if you missed out today, you've missed your chance to get your hand. Like, this is going to be like this. The rollout of this reminds me of when. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Adam. This is perfect, though.
Yes.
They're doing it perfectly. You put 15 to 20 on the shelf every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure somebody's going to buy the 15 or 20, and you can say they're sold out. You don't have to say how many sold out. You just say they sold out. And then what happens the next day? Everybody's going to get on early in the morning to buy more cologne.
Supply and demand.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, it reminds me of when I was younger. There was a time when you couldn't just order everything you wanted at your fingertips by going on your phone or your computer. You actually had to go to a store and wait in line. Now, I was never one of those kids that made my parents, you know, camp outside of Target or whichever store was nearby, you know, on Black Friday after Thanksgiving to get the hottest new toy. But it's sort of like that. It's like if you're not in line right when the availability opens for this cologne, you're going to miss out. And next thing you know, you're going to see it on eBay for $88, not $8.
Exactly.
You're going to see it on eBay for $88, and you're going to have to pay a pretty penny to smell like your local deli counter. But apparently people are very interested in it. If you have gotten your hands on a bottle of Will Levis cologne, 615-737-1025, our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But speaking of Will Levis, Derek, I think this is – you sent this to me. He did an interview with CBS Sports last week. It talks about the mayonnaise fragrance, but other than that, it was an interview about what he's expecting in his first full season as a starter, and there were some really interesting quotes in there. One was talking about the moves that the Titans have made in the offseason to shore up the offense, of course, bringing in Tony Pollard, bringing in Calvin Ridley, bringing in Tyler Boyd, etc. And Levis was talking about what that means to him. And he said a quote, according to CBS Sports, that starts with showing that – actually, that's not the right quote. It gives me a sense of confidence that they trust me, for them to invest the money and specifically my side of the ball. It's cool to see the weapons and the capability that we have as an offense, and we've been able to show throughout training camp that they've made the right decision in that way. Continuing to prove every day how we are going to be able to use these new additions and what our identity for the offense is going to be going forward, it's cool to see. It just makes me want to work harder for everyone in the front office, knowing that they believe in me with the decisions that they're making with the roster. And we've already seen that first team offense out in the field. Actually, I don't believe Tyler Boyd is practicing today.
No, he's in street clothes today. Well, not technically street clothes, but
he's in workout
gear.
He's in workout gear. He doesn't have the pads on, but the rest of the offense, the healthy bodies are out there. But, you know, Derek, to extrapolate on that point, especially for a young quarterback, coming into the league, first full year as a starter, having the front office open the checkbook, right? Big checks to Calvin Ridley, bring in Tony Pollard, bring in Tyler Boyd, who came in on a team-friendly deal in terms of the finances of it all. But to have them invest so much in the offense, in the offensive line, I should say, as well, not just the skill players. Now, what can that do for Will Levis specifically in terms of trying, as he tries to establish himself as a bona fide NFL starter?
I think it gives him confidence. And he said so himself. It gives him confidence that, you know, the organization believes in him, that he can, you know, that they can put these individuals or this talent on the field, and he knows exactly what to do with the talent that he has on the field. They revamped that wide receiver core. Why? Because they want to know if Will Levis is the guy or not. You can't put Will Levis in a situation and you don't have playmakers on that side of the ball. He's bound to fail. What they did was they went out and they targeted certain guys. They went and got them another number one. They already had D-Hop. Then you go get Tyler Boyd, who's familiar with this offense, and he's familiar with Brian Callahan. And then you re-sign Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. So you go and get Pollard. So what you're doing is you're trying to add as many weapons to a young quarterback. That is happening all across the NFL. You look at Caleb Williams and what they did with his receiving core. You look at Trevor Lawrence and what they've been doing with his receiving core. You can go down the line to some of these young quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud, they went and got Diggs, even though they had a top-notch receiving core. So they are trying – organizations are trying to make it a little bit easier for the quarterback. If I have playmakers, then the quarterback should be able to go out and do his job. If I don't have playmakers, I can't expect him to go out there and do his job at maximum. So for Will Levis, this is a prime opportunity for him to go out and have the season that he frankly wants because he has the pieces in play. Now, here's the part about it, Adam. They got to stay healthy.
Yes.
Because these are a bunch of aging pieces.
And yes,
I mean,
they're an older receiving core.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's an older receiving core. So if the guys stay healthy, then I think they'll be fine. But if they don't, then they're going to have more problems than they thought in regards to the offense.
So David in Arkansas on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says he was able to purchase a bottle of Will Levis cologne. David, I'd love to know how you were able to do that, because apparently no one else has been able to do that. So
tell us how it smelled too, David.
Yes, we're waiting for an actual review. Josh from White House says, I don't know how I can be in the checkout after being in the queue and it just takes it out of my cart. I'm legit ticked about that. Get bitter or get better. I'm bitter, says Josh from White House. So we'll, you know, someone will eventually get their hands on it. I'm hoping for maybe GQ can have some sort of review of it. As I said, the worst case scenario is Will Levis dabs a little bit on him during games. It's a pass rusher repellent. Stays upright, doesn't have to worry about that. But another interesting thing that Will Levis said in this article in CBS Sports is he was asked how he is going to define success for himself in year one as a bona fide starter. He said, quote, I'm not going to look at stats. I'm not going to look at record. I just think I want to turn the tape on and see myself doing the right boring things on a consistent basis. I think that's how quarterbacks play in this league for the longest time, as they never get bored with doing the boring thing and just taking a profit and understanding that, yeah, we want to get this shot, we want to get this deep ball or this play in this coverage, but the right decision isn't always that. And we know that if we just continue to keep repping it and are consistent with how we're seeing it and everybody doing their jobs, those shots will show up eventually. I think I've done a good job of that in camp and how I'm seeing things and checking it down. We've got great backs to be able to catch the ball in space, so being comfortable with checking it down to them and letting them work, seeing the value in that and understanding just how everything works together on the offensive side. If I can just put that on the tape and know that I'm out there seeing things well and digesting everything that's coming at me in a proper way, that will make me very confident. So I actually was curious, so I went on to ESPN Bet because I wanted to see what the statistical over-unders were for Will Levis this season, to see what they expect, what Vegas expects from Will Levis from a statistical standpoint. The over-under for passing yards for Will Levis, according to ESPN Bet, 3,450.5. Passing touchdowns over under 19.5, over under interceptions 12.5. So modest expectations for Will Levis in his first full season, but I mean, it's easy. It feels like that's easier said than done, right? Like he's saying the right thing there. It's not about my stats. It's not about my personal record. It's about doing the right things. But at the end of the day, Derek, you know, the reporters, fans, etc., will judge Will Levis on those things. So it's like, how do you marry the two? Because he's saying the right things, but he knows that his value to the rest of us is going to be determined by the numbers he puts up on the field.
The quarterback is a unique position, because one, you can put up as many numbers as you want to, but if you're not winning games, they don't consider you a successful quarterback. Another is, sometimes the quarterback gets too much praise. Sometimes the quarterback gets too much of the blame. That's just the way it is. Will Levis, to me, understands that, you know, it's not about the numbers. The only number that matters, two numbers that matters, well, three, but two really that matters. That's interceptions and wins.
Okay.
That's what really matters. If you're throwing a buttload of interceptions, you ain't going to be on this team for long. If you're not winning, I don't care how many numbers you're putting up, they are going to be looking to replace you. They might not be looking like extremely hard, but they're going to be looking to replace you because quarterbacks like head coaches, your record sort of determines who you are. That's why we look at Tom Brady. We don't look at Tom Brady's stats. I couldn't care less about Tom Brady's stats. What I see is his six Super Bowls, his seven Super Bowls. I see him leading his team each and every week when he was playing to victories. He didn't have to throw for 300 yards a game, but he was a leader of men. He led that team to victory. That's what Will Levis. I get it. Don't care about the numbers, but I care about wins. If you're not winning and you're putting up a lot of numbers, they're going to replace you. If you're putting up enough numbers but not winning, they're going to replace you. So he has to find that happy medium of, yes, I can go out and do what I need to do, orchestrate this offense the way it needs to be, do the boring things, but win football games. That's what it boils down to, because if you ain't winning, they're going to replace you.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. David in Arkansas, who was able to get his hands on a Will Levis cologne, texted back on our text line, said he kept refreshing my browser at 8:59 until 9 a.m. hit, clicked add to cart. It took a minute for it to load, then hurried and checked out. It's being shipped by a ground truck, so hopefully it gets delivered within the next few days. David in Arkansas, once you get it, text us back. Let us know how it is.
Yes,
Adam in Adam in Portland, our friend Adam in Portland, also texted in, said his buddy got the cologne. He described it like an old man cologne punch in the face.
Is that good or bad?
I told you, I am not a cologne guy. I've never been a
cologne
guy.
I love cologne.
So that might be for you. That like an old man punch in the face doesn't sound like a good thing.
It doesn't sound like a good thing.
Sounds like it stings the nostrils, as Ron Burgundy said about Sex Panther, which we played.
Smells like pure gasoline.
Yeah. That's not what you want. Another interesting aspect of this, Derek, we've talked a lot about what this team is going to look like post Derrick Henry. And you know, we're out here on the field, we're seeing Tony Pollard, we're seeing Tajay Spears, we're seeing Hassan Haskins, Julius Chestnut, but look, there are plenty of fans out here wearing number 22. There were plenty of fans, you know, at the practices, at the preseason game, wearing number 22. It's going to be very different. It's real now that Derrick Henry is not a member of the Tennessee Titans. And Nick Suss and the Tennessean had a story that came out today about life after Derrick Henry and establishing that identity, because we have known for as long as Derrick Henry was here what the identity of the Tennessee Titans is. That ball is going to Derrick Henry. He's the focal point of the offense. Defenses train themselves on Derrick Henry, whether it's him running the ball. That's why play action was so successful with the Titans, because you had to always account for Derrick Henry. That is not the case anymore. And I thought Peter Skowronski and Nick Suss's article in the Tennessean had a really interesting quote, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. He said, quote, "It's hard to really declare what our identity is when we haven't found out what works for us, who's kind of our bell cow, or bell cows, multiple, in terms of who can we hang our hat on. I think every good offense has that, like we had with Derek for so long. That'll just come through more reps, preseason games, a few games into the season." Suss continues that several Titans interviewed agreed with Skowronski's assertion that identity discovery might last into the season. So just from your experience, Derek, when the team undergoes a change, whether it's a new coach, which this team obviously has, the departure of a key player, and you have to reform that identity, how long does it really take until you are able to figure out what the new identity of the team is?
It depends on the quarterback. It depends on the offensive line. The offensive line will dictate the sort of identity of who you're going to be. If it's a physical offensive line, that's what you're going to be. You're going to be a physical team. And physicality doesn't mean running the football all the time. It just means going after guys, between the whistle, physical, every play. That's the way we're playing. Whether we're running the football or we're passing the football, we're going to be physical at doing it. So Peter's right. It takes time to sort of form that identity especially with this team, because they've revamped the offensive line. So we don't know quite what their identity is, but they need to figure it out, and need to figure it out very quickly here. And it may take a little bit longer, depending on injuries, guys coming in our lineup. But I know Brian Callahan wants this identity set very quickly so they can get into really what they want to do. Because right now, you don't know what the Titans are. You don't know if they're a heavy pass team or a heavy run team. They're just doing things right now to see what they got in each player.
So we're out here, Titans, Seahawks, joint practices at St. Thomas Sports Park. Another interesting wrinkle of this as well, Derek, is that the Seahawks are in a similar position. They turned over their coaching staff. Of course, Pete Carroll no longer in charge of the Seahawks on the field. Mike McDonald, he has a new coaching staff. They're working through very similar things. So that's what makes this practice interesting as well, is that the Seahawks in many ways are going through the same kinds of changes that the Tennessee Titans are. We have a loaded show today. Jonathan Hutton will join us here at our station here at St. Thomas Sports Park. Coming up in the next segment, we'll also have Tim Hasselbeck at 1 o'clock. And we did find out shortly before the show that Jarvis Brownlee, rookie cornerback for the Tennessee Titans, will join us after practice. Not a specific time, but sometime after noon that Jarvis Brownlee will join us here, and we'll talk to him about the practices. Derek, you're standing up. What do you see out there right now?
Traylon had a tough combative catch. I think it might have been the second play of team against Witherspoon, I believe it was. So we're seeing Traylon really take advantage of playing against someone other than his own players. So it's good to see him out there make combative catches, to be big like he is, to be physical. And he's allowed to be physical when you're practicing against another team. So it's good to see Traylon make a few catches early on. It seems like the offense is doing pretty well. They're holding up. So that's a good sign for right now.
So we're on the opposite field. The Titans defense is working against the Seattle offense. I haven't been able to see that, but I've seen plenty of people talking about Jamal Adams talking a heck of a whole lot of trash, which I would expect. Him and Quandre
exactly.
Diggs out on the field against their former team. We talked about that being the matchup to watch. As far as I know, I have not heard of any skirmishes. I did see a great quote yesterday from Gerard Mayo up in New England, the new head coach of the New England Patriots. I don't know if you saw this, Derek, but he was talking about they're about to practice with the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken. And Mayo said about trying to prevent fights from happening in practice. He said, if you're a starter and you fight, you're playing in the entire preseason game. If you're a backup and you fight, you're not playing at all in the preseason game. So Gerard Mayo laying down the law. The last thing you want as a starter is having to play a full preseason game.
Nah.
So hopefully that'll mitigate some of the fights. But, you know,
just retire for that game.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. As we talked about yesterday, tensions are always high in these competitive environments. We haven't seen anything yet, but smart money is on. We will see some sort of, if not a full-fledged brawl, definitely some pulling apart. That's just what happens when you get a bunch of competitive guys out on the field. 615-737-1025. We did get a texter who wants us to discuss some Predators news that came out yesterday. Cody Glass traded from the Nashville Predators to the Pittsburgh Penguins. We will make sure to sneak that in at some point during the show. But coming up next, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us here at our booth at St. Thomas Sports Park, breaking down the Titans joint practices, all of that. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donning today. Derek Mason, ESPN 1025 1063, the game. On ESPN 1025 1063, the game. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donning today. Derek Mason here at St. Thomas Sports Park for joint practices between the Tennessee Titans and Seattle Seahawks. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow will join us momentarily. We did see him. He is here.
Yes.
You know, we're going to keep him for a little while, so he just needed to use the restroom. I'm blowing up his spot. He needed to go to the bathroom. That's okay. I get it, man. We get older. We need to go to the bathroom more, presumably.
Exactly.
So, anyway, we're out here at St. Thomas Sports Park. Four joint practices. You can hear it in the background. Great crowd out here for those who are able to attend. We talked about this yesterday, Derek. Joint practices have replaced preseason games as really the barometer for teams as they're preparing for the regular season. We're seeing starters out here who will otherwise not play in preseason games. These practices are open to the public and the media, but there are certain restrictions about what you can shoot and what you can talk about. So they're allowed, you know, they're going to actually run their coverages and things like that. They're, you know, use their playbook, and we'll get a better look at what these teams will be able to put together on the field come the regular season. Jonathan Hutton is here from Hot Mike and Withrow on Outkick. We will get Jonathan's all thoughts on all things Titans during this training camp and this preseason. Jonathan, how are you? Thanks for joining us. I got to find your mic. Hold on. Let me see.
Now you got it.
There we go.
Yes.
There we go.
That's good to be out here, man.
Thanks. Thanks for stopping by. So, from what you've seen so far, what are your early takeaways from the beginning of this joint practice?
Well, I've been trying to move around a little bit and see more of the entire scope of this than just one side. But vast majority of what I've viewed, Adam, is a lot of the Titans' offense against the Seattle defense. I think the Levis has had a good day, spinning it well. Honestly, I think all three quarterbacks have been okay. And I was talking with someone on the sideline, Mace, about this. It's like I want to see a little bit more energy out here.
Yeah.
From both.
It seems like it's both. Not as much.
It's a little tapered tomorrow down. It's going to pop off.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit hotter tomorrow.
All that being said, I think that the Titans have held their own. I think Seattle's had their moments too. I mean, it's been a good practice where they're working on right now second and third down. Two down drive trying to get the first down going. Pushing the change to the pass game. But again, like, without the ability to tackle to the ground, thud, but that's pretty much it. It's hard to really figure out whether or not a pass would be complete or not.
Yeah, and that's
Tyrell Dodson, by the way, from Centennial High School, went to Texas A&M, number zero for Seattle. He's one of their few defensive acquisitions in free agency.
That's the safety, right?
No, linebacker.
He's a linebacker. Okay, okay.
But he's like a Mark Barron type dude.
Okay.
He's been making some plays out here, and he kind of, I feel like he's a grinder, kind of like Mason Kinsey.
Yes.
Kinsey's been rubbing people the wrong way on special teams. I mean, he's talking a lot of trash, man.
He's
talks a lot of trash, and I love it. I love it. Dotson's the same way. He spun Burks around earlier, and it got everybody riled up.
So, Jonathan, as you prepare for the as I watch another long.
I know it's very easy to get distracted.
It's hard it's easy to get distracted when they're practicing right out in front of you. But as you prepare for the Titans' regular season, we were talking about what Will Levis will consider a successful season for him.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not going to look at the stats. I'm not going to look at the record. And I think he has the right mindset when he said that in an interview with CBS Sports. But as I said to Derek, the rest of us, that's what we're looking at. That's how we analyze a player's performance, looking at his numbers, looking at his win-loss record, especially for a quarterback. Rightly or wrongly, wins are a quarterback stat. So what is your floor and ceiling for Will Levis in his first year as a starter? We have to the caveat, he stays healthy, his top weapons stay healthy, which is a big caveat. But what is your floor and ceiling expectation for Will Levis in year one as a full-time starter?
Well, the floor is where they can't be, and that's still not decided going into the next offseason what he is. He's back next year. I mean, contractually, you want to have the rookie contract. You're going to invest in that. It's not like it's this year or bust for Will Levis. But that's the floor, and that's not where they want to be.
No.
They don't want to be ground level. The worst thing that could happen, again, is it's just very average, and you still don't know. You wish upon a star, right? Best case scenario is he takes over as a leader of this football team. And right now it's Big Jeff. You agree?
Yeah, I think Jeff is the leader of this team right now, but ultimately it has to be some of it or the bulk of it has to come from the quarterback.
That comes with like a game-winning drive.
Exactly.
Something that Adam, where he pulls and rallies this team together early in the season, and then they start to really rock and roll.
Similarly to what we saw in the Miami game, right? On
Monday
night football.
That's a great example.
Yeah,
And he's had small moments. Last year's tough for him because he's a rookie. He's you know, it's the Tannehill that's the quarterback whenever they start the season. You know, you've got all these different scenarios and factors. He's known all offseason this is his football team. And, you know, behind the scenes, I think his leadership has certainly taken a big step forward from those that anyone could talk to that are in the building. I want to see that play out on the football field. I want to see him be more than just the guy that can sling it around the yard and has a massive arm, like, can make every throw. I want to see him actually make every throw and step in there and do it. And it's okay to take a profit.
Mm-hmm.
I think they don't want him to just push it to the intermediate to long routes all the time. Take what's there. I think a good example is Rudolph. Rudolph does take what's there, even if it's ahead of the behind the chains on the passing game. I think Levis, a lot of his passes end up going towards the or past the chains, and that can sometimes put it in harm's way, according to Brian Callahan. They want to try to rein him in a bit, but not to the point where you don't take advantage of his skill set, because the dude has the NFL arm that everybody would want to have on their roster.
Exactly, and that was one of his biggest attributes coming out of college.
Yes.
Big, strong, physical, with a rocket for an arm.
And they've worked on this. Yeah. They worked on it from the – you mentioned the floor to ceiling. They worked on his technique from the feet up this offseason. So they don't want him to be as scattered, I guess, with the base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't have the busy feet. Be confident in what they're doing. Stay in there. And that, in turn, should help out his accuracy.
Yeah, and then them adding, adding the weapons that they did on offense, in regards to the wide receivers and the running back. We talked with Jonathan Hutton and Withrow, Hot Mike, check him out. Hutt, you and I talked earlier while we were watching the beginning of practice of guys that sort of stuck out.
Yes.
And I mentioned to you one guy, and I think it's going to be a reoccurring theme, at least for camp, is Mason Kinsey. He's a guy amongst the receiving core of big names, but he's been the one guy that has stood out amongst all the big names.
He's consistent,
yeah,
man.
I like Mason Kinsey.
He's a cockroach. You can't get rid of him,
what
man.
Do you think? What do you think? What are his chances of truly making his team? Because you said something interesting while we're on the sideline about, you know, him in the old regime compared to him in the new regime now. You know, the old regime was just trying to keep him around. They figure they can kind of put him on practice squad. Nobody would notice.
They can stash him.
Yeah, stash him.
And he's a great this may just be his career.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great for him. He doesn't want that to be defining.
Exactly.
The practice squad guy. But look, right now it's a numbers game to me. It's tough for me to have Mason Kinsey on the roster based on the numbers at the position currently.
Exactly.
Because you could easily get to five with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine being your fifth.
Mm-hmm.
After that, Jaquan Jackson, I think, makes this roster as six. Do you keep seven?
That's a possibility because of the injury factor. Well, the age and health of that position, I think you almost have to keep an extra one just in case.
So do you keep the Kyaris Jackson, or do you keep Mason Kinsey? Again, Kinsey's going to have every opportunity. A lot's going to change over the next 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Injuries will occur.
Yeah.
And that could also play a factor in what they decide to do. But here's the thing. There's no limit now on how many years you're in the league versus how many times you can be on a practice squad. And Kinsey's career history, transaction history, is either Tennessee or New England.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're playing the numbers, I know I can get Mason Kinsey back on the practice squad.
Okay,
that's my approach to it.
Yeah, that's the way that at least the other regime felt. They felt that we can put him on, we can stash him on a practice
and
squad.
He's a great asset.
Yeah,
for the energy he brings to the practice. Coaches love that because you need somebody that's going to be consistently number one available.
Mm-hmm.
He can run the route tree. He can play different spots for you on the practice squad, on the show team. But also he can step in and know this offense like the back of his hand. It's great. But the other thing is the energy. He loves to talk a little trash, and that fires up the team in general. You get good work out of that.
And we just saw that actually while you two were talking. They ran a rep, Mason Kinsey and Nehemiah Pritchett, the rookie corner for Seattle out of Auburn. They collided during a route. Pritchett pushed Kinsey in the back, and Kinsey was just yapping back to the sideline. Like, that's exactly what you're talking about. On the broadcast, they had a great line after Kinsey made a catch. Death, taxes, and Mason Kinsey trying to make the Titans in August. Like, that's kind of where we are right now, but you're to your point.
He's Mason, a true pro.
Yeah, I mean, you need guys like that on every team in every sport, and those are the types of players who become sort of cult icons with teams.
Well, and that's kind of the – I mean, that is, in a nutshell, is really the league. Mm-hmm. You've got the upper crust of the top 15, 20% of the players, right? Mm-hmm. And then the rest bounce around, and they try to latch on, and you're trying to just be one of the 53. But not expendable, but you can be replaced pretty easily if you screw up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get hurt or if you do something stupid off the field, you're replaceable. And – you look at the career transactions of a lot of these guys that are out here. Mm-hmm. Kinsey's just gone to two organizations.
Just back and forth.
Back and forth. And by far the one that he's been the most is here. Mm-hmm. But, clearly within the organization, they love the type of, again, the type of practice player he is. Mm-hmm. And preseason, he's always – he tends to be one of the big storylines of the preseason. Here we go again with mm-hmm. Mason Kinsey. But he hasn't played a big factor in the regular season at the time he's been here. Whenever he's been asked to elevated to the active roster, which he has been a few times.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us here on Willie and D-Mace. We'll get back to Hutton on the other side. Adam Vingan, Derek Mason, ESPN, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Durham. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Cottle Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Adam Vingan, Derek Mason out here at St. Thomas Sports Park. Jonathan Hutton still with us from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. And Jonathan, before you came on, I was reading a quote from Peter Skoronski in the Tennessean talking about life after Derrick Henry. And it is odd to be out here at a Titans practice and not see big number 22 on the field. Plenty of representation in the fans, among the fans of Derrick Henry, and that will continue to be the case for, you know, time memoriam or whatever that phrase is. But point being, Derrick Henry isn't here anymore. We're going to have to see the Titans forge an identity without him. How long do you think realistically it's going to take for us to really know what the post-Derrick Henry Titans identity is?
Well, as far as the run game is concerned, I think they're going to run the football quite a bit in the month of September.
Mm-hmm.
As this offense continues to gel and progress and build. And you know, they're still installing. You know, they went from what they did in OTAs, carried over to minicamp, then they brought that back and started they picked up where they left off whenever camp started, and then Callahan continues to add layers to that now. So it's still a work in progress getting the entire playbook in on the practice field. So I think because of that, I see a team that runs the football early in the schedule. If this past weekend was any indication, so far so good in that. That's also a good way to not hide your deficiencies on the offensive line on the right side. But it's a way that you can certainly get a grip on staying ahead of the chains, is if you can run the football well. And they've got two backs that can do very similar things very well. Are they going to be Derrick Henry? No. They're not. They don't have the bell cow. But, you said, you know, if not seeing him out here, I'm not even sure, Adam, if we would see him practicing today.
That is true.
If he's here.
That is true.
So it's not as jarring yet to me, because anytime I'm out here watching practice, for the most part, 22 was doing individual work, and then he'd go to the sand pit, because he was ready to go. They made sure he was ready for the regular season. Point being, they've got all their guys out here as much as possible, especially the backfield, because they need to get this offense down.
Do you feel that one of those running backs, Tony Pollard or Tajay Spears, I know the plan is to basically rotate them.
Yeah.
But do you think that one will emerge as the primary back over the course of the season? And if you had to guess, which one of those two do you think it would be?
Well, I think early on they're going to use Pollard quite a bit. I think they're legitimately, when you hear 50-50, I think that could easily be the case. Pollard had, last time he was healthy, 50-plus catches in Dallas. Ran the ball well. He ran the ball well this past weekend. Spears, though, is, I think, that's the word the investment's being made.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the veteran Tony Pollard, who I think Carthon's had his eye on for quite some time. Now they've got Spears, and I think Spears is the more dynamic of the two, given just the wear and tear and tread on the tires.
I think he can play that role that Alvin Kamara plays for New Orleans. That can be a Tajay Spears. That can be him, you know, catching balls out of the backfield, putting him in a slot, getting him matched up with a linebacker who isn't as fast as he is. Getting him in, you know, out in space so he can use those moves that we saw this weekend. That's the part that I'm excited about. We knew what we were going to get out of Derrick Henry. It was going to be a battering ram, and by the fourth quarter, you were going to lay down and allow him to just run all over you. I think with Tajay Spears, you get that flash that we haven't had in a very long time. I think the last time they had that flash is with Chris Johnson. A guy that can catch the ball out the backfield and go. He can take a 5-yard pass and make it 85.
Yep.
They haven't had that guy from a dynamic standpoint. Derrick Henry could do it, but it was all screens, really. It wasn't you running a legitimate route.
Yeah, these dudes can run the route.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So
they can line up at the numbers.
Yeah, to me, he can be that. I'm not saying that he's better than Alvin Kamara, because I don't think he is at this stage, but he can play that role that Alvin does for New Orleans.
And think, so we were just talking about wide receiver numbers. Think about what that could factor in if you've got two backs that can do the route.
Exactly.
So that also factors into how many you want to carry.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right. You're right about that.
There. Whoever we're discussing for that final spot, whether it's the sixth or seventh receiver, and it'll be the six receivers at least, right? Or you know, the final tight end spot, or who's going to play the role of the third back. Those guys are special teams players.
Mm-hmm.
And the real money players, mm-hmm. we already know who those dudes are.
Yeah.
They're on the field. Yeah. They're starters. They're barely
not playing
practicing.
Special teams. Yeah, they're barely practicing.
Hey, I will say, though, the Titans offensive line today, a lot of work. The ones mm-hmm. got a ton of work against Seattle. Seattle's rotating a lot of people in defensively, second, third team.
Mm-hmm.
First team O-line got a ton of work, which tells me today and tomorrow are the big days for them to get the reps. I doubt we see them on Saturday.
How are you feeling about the right side of the line? You mentioned Tony Pollard running well on Saturday. He broke off that big run, that 20-plus yard run, to the right side, which is great for Pollard, but also great for the right side of the line to hold up and give him the avenue to do that. What are you feeling about Nicholas Petit-Frere, Dylan Radins, that side of the line?
I mean, those are the two best options for them on the right side. And you're right to mention that run. I mean, it was well blocked. The guards did a great job on that run too. Cushenberry as well. Guys, I mean, for what they have, I mean, Petit Frere and Radins are the two dudes.
Mm.
Can they just be consistent? Can they just, knowing the assignment, knowing the change at the line of scrimmage, blocking, whatever it might be, pass protections, and not – last week out here, they were it was not good. And it's not just one player on the right side. There were not just moments, but periods where they were not looking great at all. I thought, all things considered, Saturday was much better than I expected. And I know they're going up against the backups for San Francisco. Yes, but so far, at least in terms of the baby steps that we're discussing here, they passed that test, given the fact that they averaged 4 sacks per game last year in the preseason allowed. And they didn't allow a single sack There wasn't a penalty. Mm-hmm. I mean, all things considered, that's a check mark for me, given how much volume we've given to the entire topic. Which, and by the way, which is fair, mm-hmm. because they've not practiced all that well. Today it looked okay.
Last one for you, Jonathan. We talked about forming the identity of the team, and a lot of that comes from the head coach. Brian Callahan and Mike Vrabel, polar opposite personalities. We know they approach the game a different way, not just offensively minded, defensively minded. But one thing that's always fascinating to me is just how a team takes on the personality of its coach, like how he interacts with his players, the kind of demeanor he has on the field. Are you getting a sense of how things might be different under the Brian Callahan regime in terms of the personality of the team as opposed to Mike Vrabel?
I mean, it's I can say this. It's loose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can fight and not get kicked out of practice here.
As we saw, what was it, last week early?
Callahan, all he does is talk about having fun. Mm-hmm. He wants guys, if you're going to make a mistake, if you're going to screw up, mm-hmm. do it fast. That's his mantra. He wants quick decisions. Be decisive. And don't think as much, right? Just trust in your instinctive ability to play the game. And while Vrabel wanted all of those things, he certainly was more process-oriented than fun-oriented.
Yeah.
And I think this is more about playing the game and letting loose. And, I think that's an offensive-minded approach, especially in how the league is played right now and the coaches around the league.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Jonathan, thank you for joining us.
Hey, how long before you think we have these televised?
Jared was talking about this yesterday, about NFL Plus doing that. I would love for that to happen, but, I'm sure teams would probably push back.
Coaches are too paranoid, man.
Yeah.
You can show clips of it every now and then, but they don't want you showing the whole practice. Nah.
The league will eventually put them on somewhere.
Yeah, they have to.
No, these are replacing preseason games just because of the importance and you're actually getting starters out on the field. But yes, the NFL always knows how to squeeze a couple of pennies out of something. So it's eventually going to happen. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys. Good to see you.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Practice here wrapping up. We'll hear from Brian Callahan at the podium. We're also expected to be joined by Jarvis Brownlee after practice. Titans rookie cornerback Jarvis Brownlee. 615-737-1025. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donick. Derek Mason, ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game.